Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. Of course, on Thursday, it becomes our gambling show, and I was lucky enough to be joined by one Mr. Vlad Sedler of Elite Fantasy, who is a crusher. If you do not follow Vlad on Twitter, he is what a lot of us aspire to do. He crushes the high stakes contests of a lot of different formats and is definitely a grinder. Vlad, how you doing, buddy?
Davis, I'm good, man. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Very, very excited to get to this week. Last week, not a good week of picking for me. I hated the slate last week. So I actually, like, in the contests I'm in where you're allowed to make as many picks as you want, I really limited just the total number of picks that I made. But, just so the people know, do you play in, like, any kind of picks contests or anything like that right now?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things. I mean, nothing too extravagant. Like, obviously, super contests would be something I would love to get into next year. We do some staff picks for the site over on Fantasy Guru, and doing all right there for now. But that's just a straight, no spread there, just to pick them. And then I do the spread with you actually in that Pentathlon league that we
did. The Athletic RotoWire league.
The one where we got all the different, I think the one you're in with Sammy, where we do the picks.
Yeah, we have like DFS, we have Survivor. We have Best Ball and Survivor and Against the Spread and DFS and all that. So
in there. Nothing too hefty. Like, everything is mostly DFS, the high stakes season long, stuff like that.
Yeah. I want to know if anyone else agrees with me, but I kind of think that the Miami Dolphins are ruining Survivor pools this year. what is your take on that?
I mean, it's kind of the way everyone's been going. I mean, since the beginning, I mean, everybody knew that the Dolphins would be bad, but perhaps not many sort of surmised to this level. And honestly, you can just basically pick against them all year. At some point, something crazy is going to happen because
they play Washington, and that's going to be a week where people either don't pick against them or the chalk pick that people make is not going to, like, that's the week where chaos could happen, is the week where Miami plays against Washington, I believe, at home.
For sure. And actually in week two, I wasn't able to switch out. Like, I had Baltimore in there. I was going to put in New England for their matchup against the Dolphins, and I didn't. So I left Baltimore in there. So I have a little bit of a differentiator there where I still have New England to use, where the masses have used, have at this point used New England. But it really, it's just like the KISS method. Just keep it simple, stupid. Just, keep running out whoever's playing the Chargers for now until, like you said, until they face the Redskins, and then we have to revisit.
I've been trying to avoid the Miami matchup every single week. So I have not picked against them yet in smaller pools, like a 12 team pool. I think that's fine. Like in the league we're in, I think it's fine to pick against them because the game theory there is much less important than just getting something right. But I'm in a couple larger contests and I have not picked against them yet. And this week I will not be. The Chargers are about 50% picked in large pools this week. So I think the Chargers are clearly the chalk pick this week. But the non-chalk pick that I'm making in I'm in this one on Yahoo and a couple others, I will be picking the Ravens at home to the Cleveland Browns.
I like it. That's a good one. Unfortunately, I already used the Ravens, but it's a home matchup. I think I will maybe talk about this game a little bit later, but I think there are a couple of key injuries in the secondary there for Cleveland that really sets it up nicely for Baltimore. So I'm not opposed to that. I think the Rams are interesting too. Obviously they have a 9 point advantage there. Tampa Bay, you got Winston on the road. Godwin is a little banged up. Rams are obviously a different beast at home. So I think that's a potential one to use as well.
I think if you, depending on the size of the pool, but one you were literally like, I think that under 1% of your given pool will take Pittsburgh at home to the Bengals. These are two 0-3 teams. One of them has to win. The Steelers are, I believe they are a decent sized favorite. I'm pulling up the line right now, but like that would be an example of a spot that is like mega contrarian. And if something weird happens in if something weird happens with the Miami game, like that knocks out like half your pool, basically.
Yeah, that's crazy. And that's a tough one for me because, I mean, I don't know, man. Those Bengals just out of nowhere can – it's just a whole different ball game now with without
it seems Big Ben. And it seems like Zach Taylor is a good coach too.
Yeah, for sure. But it's crazy. Bengals are one-point favorites on the road. Pretty wild.
Yeah, it is. It is very wild. All right, now let's start getting into some of our picks for the week. So depending on who's on the show, sometimes we just kind of run through the super contest lines for the week. But both you and I are actually pretty into just betting lines in general. So what are some of your favorite totals of the week?
You know, the one that really sticks out to me, and you know, I'm truly hoping it's not a trap, is this Seattle Arizona game. You know, I think in DFS especially, you know, we've all pretty much had success in having, you know, parts of, you know, offenses either with, you know, on the Arizona side or teams against them, just because, I mean, you know, shit. I mean, they're running just so many plays. You know, Kyler Murray, you know, starting to scramble a little bit too and running for some yards last game. The offense is really starting to click. You know, I mean, they have a whole new system there, new coach, new everything. It's taken a couple of weeks to get things going. But obviously the Seattle offense is quite the beast. And both these teams have really big issues in their defense. You know, Seattle secondary just, you know, really isn't all that strong. You know, we've seen them, you know, put up some big games with them. So, I mean, this total has only jumped about 1 point from open. It was at 47. Now it's at 48. And I don't know. This just to me kind of seems like a game that can get into the 30s. But that's pretty much my favorite one of the night.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's already been successful for me. It was not in week three, as Kyler really did not play well in the second half, but just betting on Arizona and betting on that offensive system has been useful and helpful so far. Like, and even though I think it's pretty clear that Cliff Kingsbury does not seem like a great coach, right?
No.
Like it seems like he's making a lot of, you know, kind of basic mistakes in terms of like, you know, when to go for it and stuff like that. But Kyler is really good and the offensive system is good enough that it's kind of buoyed this not very good team. And your next one here, I also just could not agree more with your next one.
Yeah, again, it's kind of chalky, but Kansas City and Detroit over 54.5. I think even if it went up another point, I'd probably take it, you know, probably still end up taking it. The narrative this week is, I mean, shoot, it's Mahomes' first professional game in a dome. We've seen what he's done outside of domes. I mean, this just can be an absolute, you know, banana fest. So, man, I like, you know, preseason, I kind of went in on the Detroit offense. I really thought Stafford had a bad year last year. Obviously, he lost Kerryon Johnson early in the year, Marvin Jones for most of the season. Pretty much just had Kenny Golladay, who really blew up. But I think this Detroit offense can hang with him. If the game was in Kansas City, I'd maybe be a little bit more concerned. But, you know, here in Detroit, I think Detroit, you know, maybe won't have enough firepower to actually keep up and cover the spread. But I think absolutely this game, you know, goes, you know, gets up there. I mean, Kansas City pretty much gets your 30 points every single week. We saw the little blip with they scored like 29 against Oakland. But outside of that, I mean, 54.5 is a really nice total to go over.
Yeah, I mean, the Mahomes stat now is that he has started, I think, what the math is, he must have started like 22 games now, and he's never once quarterbacked an offense that scored less than 26 points. So yes. Like that is the baseline of where you're starting out for with totals. And then, you know, they haven't been tested yet. No team has been able to test them yet, but at the point in which they are somehow like kind of taken to the brink at all, I think that they might go to like an 80-20 pass ratio. And just like, I think that they would be a threat to score 50 themselves.
Yeah. And you know what, like, I'm just kind of looking ahead to their schedule. Like, I don't really see anyone, you know, maybe Green Bay in week eight, but even then I'm not so sure. I mean,
yeah, I mean, Rodgers would have to show us something different than what he showed us thus far.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, you're just like, it's like Indy, Houston, at Denver, Minnesota, Tennessee. I mean, it's just, you know, it's going to be a lot of routes. It'll be fun when it gets like later in the season, the first week of the fantasy playoffs, it'll be Kansas City at New England. So that'll be a banger for sure.
Yeah, that. So I am on board with both of these thus far. Now you have another one that I do these like Fantasy Pros. I do like the betting contest, like the betting accuracy challenge, and I've been staring at this line, and I think the line is such that it demands you make a pick. So what side of this Minnesota Chicago line do you have?
If I'm not mistaken, didn't you crush that thing last year, or weren't you?
I did. Yeah, I got. I think I finished third last year.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, nice one. Nice work, man. Yeah. I mean, Minnesota, Chicago. It just, you know, in its essence, it just kind of screams an under game. It seems to me where you're going to have defenses are sort of, stalling good drives. You're going to have, a strong run D with Chicago that I think is going to challenge Dalvin Cook for the first time that we've seen all month. I don't think Mitch Trubisky and his offense is running on all cylinders yet. And so I just see a lot of field goals in this game, maybe some, a lucky defensive touchdown, but it's always scary when you're betting an under of, something under 40.
Of really low. Yeah.
Yeah, but to me, like, for whatever reason, I just feel like this one is a little bit safer to go under than Denver-Jacksonville. For whatever reason, I see Denver-Jacksonville possibly kind of squeaking.
I think Denver-Jacksonville more likely to go over than this game. I agree with that for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So and so it's one where it's not like a super strong confidence pick, but if I was to go with a lean and place this bet, I would – probably hope for like a 17-14, 20-17 type of game for Minnesota Chicago.
Yeah, I think that is definitely reasonable. Do you have any other totals that you were into?
I was a little curious on the Chargers Miami one. I mean, honestly, anything could happen, of course. And I did kind of mention last week, just on Twitter that I did believe that moving from Fitzpatrick to Rosen was going to kind of help boost the offense a little bit. And it did, obviously.
It did a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit, but obviously, Chargers team is a juggernaut. They're obviously, always hit with some sort of bad luck or, some like last minute, disasters that occur. There's, some black cloud with that team always being injured. So, I don't know. I'm looking at the numbers right now. You've got about 2/3 of the money is on the under. And I think it'll be close. I think it's gonna be one of those situations where it's going to be like kind of tinkering right around the line, like going into the 2-minute drill in the fourth quarter. And then we see some kind of like garbage points. But Miami's total is 14. I don't know if I see them getting there. Meanwhile, the Chargers are right around 30 and I see them topping that a little bit. So something like,
yeah,
we're right at the line there, it's like 43.5. So a 33-10 or 34-10. Type of score, and you're right around the line. So I think that's kind of a tough one to look at.
Yeah, there we go. All right, now this is the segment people love. We have our three most confident picks against the spread. Have been doing pretty well thus far this year. I've been having fun enjoying betting thus far. Where do you start with your third most confident pick?
Third, I guess, would probably be the Giants. They're at home, favored right now by 2.5. There's a little bit of, intrigue here as far as what's going to happen with the Redskins quarterback because Keenum is dealing with a foot issue. We might see the debut of rookie quarterback Dwayne Haskins. And so that kind of throws a wrench into things. And I honestly can't tell you whether I think that'll be better or worse. A lot of times we see somebody new pop into an offense and just go nuts, kind of like Baker did last season and, very many cases of this, but it's a little bit different when you're kind of game planning for it. So I think maybe Washington keeps them, kind of questioning things for a bit, but either way, the Giants with Gallman there without Barkley, I kind of like this to be a high scoring game. I like them to pull it off by at least a field goal. So 2.5 to me sounds like a good start.
Yeah, I like that side. I like that side as well. My third most confident was going to be Houston -4 over Carolina, simply because I think Houston is a better team. And call me crazy, but I think it's probably unlikely that Kyle Allen is that good, right? Like, I don't think Kyle Allen is coming back with, 90% completion and 4 touchdowns in this game on the road at Houston. I think this is a much more difficult spot for them.
Yeah, I think it's like a perfect letdown spot. And same thing, I think people that may be thinking about going back to the Kyle Allen bandwagon, kind of, looking at last week's box score, are going to be a little bit disappointed. So yeah, I'm fine with it, especially with, Houston at home here. Obviously they have some problems with the offensive line. I could see Carolina getting to them and pulling off some sacks. It's just, again, it's a rookie quarterback in his second game. He's not as talented as a lot of people think they are. And so I'm good with that. I like Houston -4.
Yeah. I think that seems fairly straightforward. But I don't think that's going to be a popular one. I do not think that Houston -4, despite the fact that, they're just coming off of this Chargers win and, everything seems to indicate that the markets think that the Chargers are very good. It seems like this is not a popular line to me.
Yeah, I don't think it is. It's one of those where there's enough respect for Carolina and, what McCaffrey does and the fact that they've got all these, badass receivers like, DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, even Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen is still alive and crushing it, which is hilarious. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it'll be all that popular.
Yeah. All right. What is your second most confident pick?
Second one is the Chiefs for me.
Love it.
It's 6.5. I do think that the Lions somewhat hang, and by that I mean within 10 to 14 points, most of the game, enough where, Kansas City isn't going to have to start running it, down their throats with Darrell Williams, but they'll continue to throw it. They've got the firepower to win by at least a touchdown. So 6.5, even though they're on the road, I think is a really good spot for them.
Yeah. I think if you just take the best, I think if you just simply took the best team, and I think that the Chiefs are the best team, I just feel like that is clearly, I think, the right thing to do. And so I'm completely on board with, I just, as a strategy, I'm just very on board with that.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people might overthink things, be like, oh, this is the game where, Kansas City, but you can't keep doing that. At some point you, especially in this type of format and, betting, it's just, here's the best team. They're playing a mediocre team, and they're pretty much going to do what they want with them. So 6.5 is not that big of a spread.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on board with that. So, now we're to my second most confident pick, which, I was having a hard time coming up with something that I felt super good about. And this line is different at a lot of different books, but, I'm going to stick with my boys, Arizona +5.5 or +6, depending on which book you're at. I've seen both numbers, and I think some places even have 5, but basically, I think that Seattle's defense is bad, and I think that that is going to be exposed by the Arizona Cardinals because they are just run a lot of plays. And I think this is actually a bad matchup for Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, Arizona has a really, how bad the defensive line is for Seattle, is insane, where Arizona actually with their kind of mediocre offensive line have an advantage. I mean, you're just looking at, the matchup.
Yeah.
It's a really good spot for Kyler and Christian Kirk, who's like the new D.D. Westbrook. I mean, that's insane. I mean, how many catches he had last week, him and Fitzgerald. I really like this offense. I like the game. I have enough respect for Seattle where I think the spread isn't, quite where I'd want it to be, where I feel comfortable taking Arizona.
Seven is the right number, right? Like if it's seven, then you say, okay, that's a smash, which is why if this was 7, this would be my number one of the week. The thing I think that gives me, the thing that I'm really into this line is Pete Carroll doesn't want to play football the most effective way he can. He does not want to unleash Russell Wilson, which if I thought that Russell Wilson was going to throw 40 times and just be able to do his thing, I wouldn't bet this to 10. But I think that they're going to get a lead, and I think that it's going to be Chris Carson and Rashad Penny and CJ Prosise, and Russell Wilson might throw 20 times. And that is horrible for them, and it's really good for Arizona.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to imagine at some point Chris Carson's going to kind of bounce back. I mean, he's like leading the world in fumbles and, was rightfully pretty much benched in that second half. And this is a, game without Rashard Penny. So they were, running with CJ Prosise, who's still around crazily. But yeah, I think, you know, obviously Carson is Carroll's pet project. He's going to, Carroll's pet project. So he's just going to continue to run him as much as he can if they have a lead. But it should be a close enough game. So I definitely don't mind that spread.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So now I think, spoiler alert, I think we both have the same most confident pick.
Nice. Yes.
So what is yours?
Mine is the Rams. Rams -9. It might seem a little high, but I mean, I just see them crushing Tampa Bay. Tampa's coming off that, you know, that nice game last week. It worked out for a lot of us in DFS. And, you know, all signs sort of pointed based on the matchup that it was going to be a smash spot for Winston in the offense. But now it's going to be a little bit of a letdown for them. They're legit facing the worst, literally the best secondary that anyone can face. You know, between Aqib Talib, you know, Peters and Roby Coleman, who's an amazing slot corner, they have yet to allow a touchdown in their coverage through three games. And yeah, I mean, you know, Godwin is dealing with a hit pointer, as we mentioned earlier. Rams are just a whole different animal at home. I really, really love the Rams to smash and win by at least 10.
Yeah. I really like this spot as well. And I think that there's definitely a little bit of element of, like, I don't think Jared Goff has played as bad as people say he's played, right? Mm-hmm. Like everyone and their mom wants to tell you how horrible Jared Goff has played. I kind of disagree. I think that he's been just about Jared Goff, and that things with this offense are just in flux a little bit, and they're learning how to deal with some of the different looks. But I don't think Goff has been horrible, and I think that this is definitely a Jameis, you know, is just gets overwhelmed and is squinting down the field at another pick six that he threw sort of spot.
Yeah, for sure, a couple yeah. Pick sixes maybe.
So the last thing that I wanted to talk about before we get out of here is player props. This is, I love to bet player props because the lines just are not as sharp, right? And yeah. And they are more finely attuned towards people like you and I who are thinking a lot about how players are going to perform anyways. And they're not touted nearly as much, basically. And, you know, for people who are wanting to get $20,000 down a weekend, they're probably not ideal. But for people who want to get, you know, $2,000 of total action out on a weekend, player props are a great way to supplement that action.
Yeah, they're kind of like the sharp's little secret, especially people, you know, like us, is just have been doing this for a really long time and feel really in tune, you know, especially on the fantasy standpoint. And a lot of times, and, you know, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, you know, sometimes when you look at something and you know that it's, without even doing much research, you know, oh, I'm clearly going over on this, or I'm clearly going under, or something just really shoots out as a mispriced line. You usually win those, right?
Yeah, I don't remember a time where I ever felt super confident in a line and was like punished for that, where I was like, oh, actually, clearly that was bad, and I should feel bad for betting that or whatever. Like generally, like if someone I really like in DFS, like. There's been four times this has happened already this year, and their reception total has been like 3.5. Well, like, okay, that's just an easy over, and you're getting those a lot of the time at like -115, so they're not even like horrible juice.
Yeah, and actually, so your boys, Connor Allen and Ryan Noonan, I was on their show last week, you know, sort of a similar format for the show, and they kind of got me hooked on this Thrive Fantasy game, which is basically like a, you know, DFS for prop betting, where they basically, you know, they throw out like 20 very specific props based on, you know, the Sunday slate, and you basically pick 10 of those, the ones that you feel strongest about, and then you get certain amount of points for each one. So there's, you know, different elements to it. And I just remember, like, I was pretty stoked. Like, I feel like I was pretty much the only one on the Eckler under total. It was like total rushing receiving at like 97 or something like that. I just started looking at how Houston has, you know, basically kind of fended off running backs for so long. And I just got under there. I think it was by like a few yards where, you know, the whole world was on the Eckler over, I'm on the under. And
right.
I was just kind of stoked to pull that one off.
Yeah, that is a pretty good one. So where are some spots that you are looking at this week?
I think the one that sticks out most to me, at least that I saw on the site, was in probably on regular markets. It's probably on the low side, but there's a Marlon Mack over under 62.5 rushing yards. And it's just it's a smash for me. It feels like the easiest bet on the board. In games where, you know, Indy has positive game script going their way. I mean, this is what Marlon Mack does. He just absolutely smashes. This is like, you know, the 150 plus rushing yards type of spot. You know, he's, you know, basically I think like top seven in, among all running backs in snaps, you know, snap percentage so far. You know, obviously guys like, you know, Jordan Wilkins and, you know, the other guy there, blanking on his name, they're just Hines. They're just not really big parts of the offense. I mean, he pretty much is the offense. If they have a lead, he's running it down the Oakland's throats. We saw what Oakland, you know, what happened in last week. I think there was some concern like, oh, Oakland's going to be a decent run defense. But last week, I mean, between Dalvin Cook,
Madison, they Boone, suck so bad. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, it was insane. It was like 31 carries, almost 200 yards on the ground. It was just insane. So it's a good spot for Mac. He's third in the league in rushing right now. So that's kind of my favorite prop right now.
Yeah, I am in on that. I agree with another one that you have here, but Amari Cooper overs have been so good. Really, Dallas Cowboy overs in general, like if you bet overs on their team total or overs on receptions, just because they are just fantastic. They are such a good team. And that's another thing that I love to do with props is just correlate prop betting with just teams that I think are going to overperform their Vegas team total in general. I think that's like a great way to start approaching things.
Yeah, I love this whole Dallas situation. The fact they brought in, you know, Kellen Moore there. Like, I mean, guy's like 31. I mean, he's 31 years old, and he's just doing like some insane things with that offense. Bringing the most out of Dak Prescott. Amari Cooper finally living up to the hype. You know, now out of Oakland, so I love it. This prop specifically might seem a little high, but not for Amari this week. It's over 80.5 receiving yards. Obviously, with no Gallup, target share goes up for him. This is going to be the Sunday night game with the Saints. I figure it's going to be pretty competitive, going to be fast-paced, a close one. And the kind of the kicker here is that how bad New Orleans' secondary has been. I mean, obviously, they've got Eli Apple there on one side, and he's obviously been one of the worst cover corners of the last couple of years. But then Marshawn Lattimore too, man, he's been shocking. Like his rookie year, he was a shutdown, man. Like you just literally could not make plays on him. Since then, like last year and the beginning of this year, he's legit like among the worst cover corners in the league. So, you know, if that's who Cooper's facing in both these games and Prescott's going to be throwing a lot, I love this over.
Yeah, I am in on these. Some of the other things I would tell people to look at when the lines start coming out Sunday morning is, as I mentioned, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers lines, like Juju receptions or Juju receiving yards, might be a little bit low. And then also, I just wonder if there are some books that maybe have not quite caught up with the Arizona Cardinals and the fact that they're running so many pass plays. And I'm wondering if maybe there are some books where you can get like over four receptions or over six receptions even for Christian Kirk or Larry Fitzgerald, because those would be some of the easiest overs of all time.
Yeah, agree. I mean, yeah, just if you could just, you know, load up on overs, on receptions for all those guys, even David Johnson.
Yeah. All right, man. I think that covers it. People should be ready to go and gamble this week. Why don't you tell people about the stuff that you guys have going on over at Guru Elite?
Yeah, so kind of working both sides of the you know, coin, I guess you could say, as I always do. On the Fantasy Guru side, I've got a column there from The Gut, which is basically like a, you know, a little season-long, you know, from a high-stakes perspective. So, you know, write about different bids and people that things are doing there. And then over on the Elite side, which is our DFS side, basically, you know, telling you which quarterbacks to play, recommendations there for from a DFS perspective. So. Yeah, and I'm at RotoGut on Twitter.
There we go. Everyone, please make sure to give Vlad a follow on Twitter and go check out the site. And good luck this week, everybody.